I'm here today at the Saatchi Gallery for the opening of Art Riot, Post-Soviet Activism, which they are putting on the occasion of the 100th anniversary of the October Revolution. And I'm here, and I have a great privilege to be here with Maria Aliukina, who's a founding member of Pussy Riot, the feminist protest punk rock group. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you.
If you hear barking in the background, we are in one of the rooms, an installation by Oleg Kulik, who is a very controversial and influential figure as a activist animal. And just to start out, since we are here, what has Oleg's work meant to you?
I think Oleg Kulik is one of the big inspirations as an artist and as a person as well. I've seen his works for a long period, but personally, I met him first time only last year. And together with him, we were going several times to the court trials of Peter Pawlenski, who'd been jailed that time. So, and whose exhibition you can see next door. So I think through Art Riot you can see the context of our country, which changed, for my opinion, a lot since Soviet time, but at the same time, we have unreflected past, Soviet past, which we have to work with for a long period more.
Yeah, you founded Pussy Riot. It came out of there was an original group, I think called Vojna.
I was involved in Vojna, and first time when we came with them to the action was a court trial against, and I think that was the first political religion court trial. That was a criminal case which was open in 2009 against two curators of the exhibition called Warning Religion. They opened a criminal case on the extremism article, and Yerofeyev and Samadurov were in the court. So together with Vojna group, we came there and made a punk performance there. And I was an ecological activist also, and made several demonstrations and a movement, like in 20 cities, for protecting a forest, which is very unique and only in Russia, in the south of Russia. And through this activism, I knew a lot of different people, artists, activists, journalists, and so on. And that was, for me, a way to understand more about the system, which is totally unhuman in Russia. And so in 2 years, Putin announced that he is going to be a president. And I think there was and still is a community of people who decide to do a protest. At the same time, we had a huge demonstrations in the whole Russia, like now. And so we start to make the actions, and I think the first loud action was in the Red Square with a song, Putin Pissed His Pants. And so second, in the Cathedral of Christ the Savior with the song Mother Mary Banish Putin. that was a 40-second long performance with one verse and one chorus of the song. After that, nobody called the police, nothing happened. But when we uploaded the video in 2 days, that criminal case was opened on the article "Hooliganism Motivated by Religious Hatred." And after 1 week, we've been arrested and spent 2 years in prison because of that.
Okay, so I want to go back to the moment where you chose that cathedral for that performance, because I want to talk a little bit about the role of the Orthodox Church in Russian society now, because it was outlawed, but it is extremely powerful now. And if you could help us sort of understand, and that cathedral in particular is the seat of Russian Orthodoxy.
So Patriarch Kirill, as a head of Russian Orthodox Church, is a close friend of Vladimir Putin, and in the pre-election period he was promoting Putin and saying that true Christians shouldn't go to the demonstrations, true Christians should vote for Putin. And it's political statements, I mean, and he used Cathedral of Christ the Savior as a political symbol of Putin's power. And our action is firstly a critique of this collaboration, because Vladimir Putin is a face of FSB system, an ex-KGB agent. There are no ex-KGB agents, but anyway. So KGB system, former NKVD system, were killing Christians almost a century, and a lot of priests, a lot of usual people, a lot of, let's say, religious activists during the Soviet time went to Gulag because of the system. And it's not possible to promote KGB using your position as a head of Orthodox Church. Besides that, he's a businessman. I mean, this is nothing about ideology. It's just, I mean, it's a business. He's living in a luxury villa. He's having posh cars. He has tobacco business and so on. So I think, I mean, we just wrote a song and we just went to this cathedral, and that was nothing more.
Until after.
Yeah, until after, because they are so fragile to give their stage for their opponents to put us for prison for 2 years.
It did sort of backfire in that way, that this reaction was so strong, so vehement, and that it really gave you guys a global platform. That's what propelled it. Putin actually promoted you, in a sense.
I think it's just a hysterical reaction, which, for my opinion, could not have any politician against their own citizens. But political art is strong not because of the guns or weapons which classical government present as a weapons. It's strong because of the questions which is asking. And I think it's this way is international. And you see examples of the power of satire, and some of them are really tragic, such as Charlie Hebdo, for example. So I believe that it should continue, because this is the only way to go forward and understand and overcome problems. And without them, we will just stuck and go back.
I was like, 'cause it does occur to me that you are in a very nationalist. There is a very nationalist version of Russia ongoing in the government currently, but that you are a proud Russian, and that you are also, I believe, Russian Orthodox. However, it's the hypocrisy, the corruption that you're questioning, and that you're highlighting, and that you would like to be able to question.
What was the question? How what?
It just occurs to me that you are not anti-Russian, and you are not anti-Russian Orthodox. You are anti-corruption. You are anti-hypocrisy.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not a part of Russian Orthodox Church at all. I'm not going to the church and not participating, how to say it? How you call it?
Practicing.
Practicing, yes. I think the idea of Christianity is important for all European civilization because it's one of the bases. And we can say that, I mean, it's not true in this century, but the influence, it's very strange to kind of reject the influence. And for me, it's in culture as well. I think it's, well, it should be each of us has a voice. Also doesn't matter in which country we are living in. Each of us has a story, and all our stories make a history of our countries and our world. And if we remember about it, we can make a change. And there could be a lot of, and probably always could be a lot of hypocrisy, but it's always a place for truth as well. And I believe in it.
I want to talk a little bit about truth and integrity.
Integrity? What is
it? Integrity. You do what you say you're going to do. You are who you say you are.
Mm-hmm.
You put yourself physically in your situations. You have not, since being in prison, even while in prison, you had hunger strikes. Since being in prison, in I know a play, Burning Doors, in New York, you stuck your head repeatedly into a bucket of water for longer and longer periods of time. You were asked, are you really doing that? And you said, of course. I wanted to ask you also, in the video, I Can't Breathe, it looks like you are being buried alive.
Yes.
And you were being buried alive.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about the importance of one fighting and fighting all the time, and for each thing, and also for putting yourself truthfully in those situations.
Fake cannot make any change. And by truth, you have a chance, at least. So Burning Doors is a play about, it's a play of Belarus Free Theater, which we made in collaboration with them. And it's about artistic resistance and it's about overcoming a fear. And it's based on three stories, mine, Peter Pavlensky, and Oleg Sentsov. And Oleg Sentsov, he's a Ukrainian filmmaker. He got 20 years of prison, and he's now in prison because of his art and activism in the Crimea during the annexation. So during the investigation, he was tortured. And he was sent to the, firstly, to East Siberia and then to North Siberia to spend his term. So he's in the age of life and death. And things about we are talking could be shown, I believe, only in the way of truth. Otherwise, we cannot share this. And,
It doesn't have the same impact. And I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, how does it feel? Here you are in London, which in many ways is the capital of clicktivism. I liked it on Facebook. That's, you know, what so many people think of activism. Are you discouraged in the face of that? Or does it make you fight more? Or is it irrelevant to what you are doing?
I think it's it can be a part of what we are doing. It's a way of expressing the information. It's media. Why not? That was from the very beginning. I mean, it should be an action, but it should be a way to show this action to the world as well. So for example, if we'll look to the WikiLeaks from the very beginning, they worked only at the media space. So it's possible also as well. For me, a physical component, it's important for me personally. But this is not the only way. But I think if we're talking about Great Britain, it could be its best time to act now. Because last year I've been here with Belarus Free Theatre and I've seen the country after the Brexit. And I've seen the shock. And I've understood that shock probably was necessary because a lot of people, especially young people, were out of politics and now it's better. But it should be more action, more real action here because it really can make a change. I know it.
Talk to me a little bit about how you incorporate fighting for freedom on an everyday basis. I know you've said if you give an inch, you give a mile.
For the last years, we made protests in different forms, in actions, in the court trial, in the battle with prison guards and hunger strikes, in the political theater, in the book, for example, which in its story in Russia, it's also in interesting. And we made the Media Zona and Zona Prava, which is a media outlet which covers police violence, prison violence, political court trials, and make a real change in the particular situations which it's covering. Because usually those officials who break the law afraid mostly that somebody will see it and will go to the court, for example, against them. So if they are observed, they are trying to follow the law, even in Russia. So, and I think it's not the end. We are I mean, alive people, and we love experiments, and we love to just do things.
I would say, to me, it struck me that, of course, you have to fight for every little freedom, because that's how our freedom was taken away, little by little by little.
Exactly.
And then you notice that you're in a box.
Yes, you're totally right. And any revolution made by steps, it's not a miracle which is like falling down from the sky and everything changed. No, it's everyday practice. And it starts from your heart, and it just should be continued.
Thank you so much, Maria.
Thank you. Thank you. The one of the pictures not so